Good morning. It's great to be with you here this morning. Good morning. My name is Fred Wilgenberg, and years ago I was a student at Dort College. Since 1991. And I was in this church probably around 1989, I think, because I was dating my wife up to that year. And coming twice on Sunday was really important to her, I know, and it became more important to me. And Covenant Christian Reform was at 6 o'clock at night, and that worked really well for us. And so, but it sure looked different than this. And but great to be back here again. And I certainly wasn't a pre-sim major. I was an ag business major back then, so I saw Professor Goodhart. I don't know if Dr. Bayama is in here or Oldhoff, but some of those were the profs back then. My wife, I married one of the Bartles girls. There was, well, six kids that went through Dort in about 4 or 5 years. And I married Amy, one of the two girls there. And our three daughters, Whitney and Sierra, have graduated from Dort a few years. Just, I think, Sierra about a year, 2016. Whitney, I think, 2015. And Jenna right now is will be a junior at Dort. So kind of small world. Good to be back here this morning with you. Talk just a little bit about New Roots Ministry. About 4 years out of Dort, I went to seminary, and sensed that call more toward a pastoral type ministry, and served a couple of years in a church, but with a desire to go into outreach ministry. So we were starting a ministry called Center of Hope, working on starting that, and that I was there from 2000 when that began to just about 14 months ago, and so that was an outreach ministry in Sioux Falls. And I am ordained in the Reformed Church in America, and that was an RCA ministry. And it's been really fun to now transition to New Roots Ministry, which is actually Christian Reformed affiliated, to kind of come back to my original roots. And so that's been fun. Carl Bruxford, I was told, has been here before. And Carl is a great predecessor of mine at New Roots Ministry. And I have rewritten the slogan there, we're doing what Carl had started about 19 years ago. Very good. We are a springboard for immigrants in their churches. And when Carl started the ministry, there were a lot of immigrants, and well, refugees mostly, coming just brand new at that time. Now I would say there are a few, not coming as refugees very much anymore, but more as immigrants, I guess refugees are immigrants, but with a different, certainly a different status, different experience. But we still see quite a few coming from Ethiopia. We do see some new refugees still coming from Bhutan. Well, they refugeed to Nepal and out of the United States, and some still from Congo who had gone to some of those countries surrounding there, Tanzania, Namibia, and have come to the United States. But it's been really a great time for me, a totally different people group from my years with Center of Hope, working more with people on the streets, many Native Americans, which was a wonderful thing, in the jail, in the prison a lot. Now I'm in there very sporadically, as part of my work now is a chaplain at the John Morrell plant in Sioux Falls, which Carl got us into, which is really phenomenal, really very big secular company, but warmly greets having a chaplain there on the grounds, and that's really fun. In part because 85% or more of the 3,600 person staff are from other countries, and so it's really been a great fit. So Smithfield Food Chaplaincy is about 17 hours a week that I'm committed to doing that on the floors and in the break rooms, probably about 15 hours a week, and visiting people in the hospital, occasionally the jail, at homes, things like that, maybe another 2 or 3 hours a week. So having a lot of fun with that. New Roots, we really are hoping to expand workplace chaplaincy, and I am excited that actually a large dairy farm, I'm just going to say about 40 miles from here, but a Dort graduate, I'm going to have a second meeting with this person this coming Friday to maybe start workplace chaplaincy there. And if not there, I could see that really happening. And we have a bilingual person who's not me. Not quite, I hope, to get there with this happening, but to be a chaplain there. So we really see workplace chaplaincy being something that can grow. We do Timothy leadership training, and really a good fit for many of these pastors who we work with. We network with about 52 pastors of these immigrant and refugee churches in Sioux Falls. There's about 48 congregations, and they're certainly pastoring, and they're doing a good job at pastoring, but a lot of them do not have a lot of education in the way of pastoring, so Timothy Leadership Training is a great program. Actually started by some Christian Reformed Church people in Nigeria many years ago, or in the 90s, I believe. But in about 2 years, maybe a class every other month, a module every other month, each module being about six courses, they can become a graduate of this certificate program and be qualified as a trainer. So Timothy Leadership Training is very important to us. I write a newsletter every couple of months to the pastors, and 12 of whom work at Smithfield Foods. That's their paid job. I would say 90% of them, 95% of them, are actually volunteer pastors of churches from 20 up to 120, 130 people. So really hard-working people, lovely people. Equipping ministry, you know, I've been in the nonprofit world for a lot of years now, having written the paperwork for some. So just in the last 14 months, I've worked on that with about three different people, because these folks have a continued love for their country, of course, and they're reaching out, doing work there, sometimes nonprofit ministry in their country. So we work on that, trying to help them navigate here in the United States. And one other role that we have was an all-nation city church. I'm kind of hoping it maybe got into your announcements or will next week. We do all-nation city church is a gathering every about four times a year with different things, and we have a cool picnic coming up on August 25 that Carl and I are very active on the board with that. And if you want to come to a multicultural experience, people from all places worshiping our Savior together, our diversity and unity in Christ, celebrating that, maybe you want to come to Sioux Falls on August 25. We have some volunteer opportunities. Really, I have to say one main one, and really the only one I've offered so far besides my board members, and so volunteering. But we like to work in stores that are owned by people of other countries. And so just this last week on a Tuesday and Thursday, I had one church group, and we were in a Somalian store and a store owned by a Liberian woman. And we had a fun time working for about an hour and then having them share with us about their life and about immigration and owning a store in Sioux Falls. That was fun. Thursday, we were in a Sudanese person's store and then a Somalian across the street. Those were both Muslim people, and how nice they were to share about their faith and that whole experience for them coming from a tough country like Somalia. Having a lot of fun at New Roots. I was hoping to have Derek here with me this morning. Derek is Liberian, and he's quite new to the country. I've been teaching him to drive. I'm not going to do that too often again, but he asked, and he wants to speak with me. This didn't work out this morning. It was kind of a late notice to come this morning, but I'm who you got this morning. I'm going to read scripture this morning, and if you would like to turn, if you would like to follow along, but a pretty common story, Luke 15, verses 1 through 7 this morning. Luke 15, found on page 1623 in your pew Bibles. So in this passage, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Don't know exactly where he's at, but as 14 verse 25 says, large crowds were now traveling with Jesus. As he's drawing toward, really toward the end of his ministry, and we all know how that ends up. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So, got to ask you a question. Is that a challenging passage for you personally? Is that a challenging passage for this church, Covenant Christian Reformed Church? Maybe you're a little surprised that I would even ask such a question of a lovely passage like this that really talks about God's saving of sinners. God's saving of us from our sins and all the brokenness that comes with that. Maybe that's a bit challenging for each of us. It is for me. This passage actually is challenging, and we'll flesh that out for me anyway. We'll flesh that out this morning. But I do want to say that it will end for sure on a good note. This passage is all about, ultimately, a good note. So let's look at the different characters in this passage, Luke 15, 1 through 7. Maybe asking ourselves, have I been that person? Am I that person? Very first verse. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. I know a lot of us know about these people. The tax collectors were Jewish people, but they were working for the Roman Empire. Kind of like the Jewish agents sent out to collect taxes from their own people. Maybe some of them were more honest than others, but we kind of get the impression from this and maybe other passages that perhaps they skimmed a little extra off of the top. And we know that typically then tax collectors were really despised by many of their own people, their own Jewish people. The sinners were really those who they would be considered the heathen, the ones who didn't follow the accepted religious laws. They certainly lived messy lives. They probably were non-synagogue, or maybe we could say today, non-church people. Or maybe we would sometimes put them in that category, whether that was true or not. But the tax collectors and sinners. And so have you ever been one who is despised as people walk by you? Maybe one who is viewed as heathen, as a non-God-fearing person. Maybe that's how you feel today, even in church here this morning. But keep in mind that these are the ones who were friends with this really interesting person, Jesus. In fact, they were friends. They were eating with Jesus, this man who had really interesting teachings and who was very accepting of them. Well, let's shift over to some other characters in this passage, and we'll lump the Pharisees and the teachers of the law together. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law really, I guess we would say, they were keeping the religious laws. And they were really the gatekeepers to make sure that everyone fit within those religious laws. And what a challenging job That must have been, wow, to be a Pharisee in that day. To make matters worse, they had this new liberal teacher who was saying all kinds of things that were very attractive to people. And he was very attractive to people. And maybe to make matters worse even than that, he was good at what he did. He was a good speaker. Very good at debate. Very good in dialogue. Intelligent. The Pharisees were uptight. I think I would have been as well. And maybe I am sometimes today. Because maybe I am a Pharisee, a teacher of the law today. And it's not a happy, not an easy place to be. Have you been there before? Maybe are you a Pharisee today, a believer, but also uptight? I mean, where is this world going to, right? And sometimes, maybe even some of our own loved ones seem to be pushing at least the boundaries of what we have believed is right. Some of what we know is right, right? Maybe some things we've also drawn up that is right. To be a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. Wow. Well, let's go to the actual characters within the parable here. At least the sheep. And let's talk about those. The 99 sheep, who were they? Well, in the passage here, we can see in Luke 10 there were 72 that he sent out. So I would say they were similar. Well, we could also say the 12 disciples. So you had the 12 disciples, and then you had the 72. They weren't part of the inner 12 group, but certainly taught and discipled enough, students enough, maybe upperclassmen students enough to go out and share the gospel. The Pharisees, there were the women. Maybe those were part of the 72. We know there were large crowds at the Sermon on the Mount. We see here in chapter 14, verse 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Some of them were new on the outside, the boundaries, listening, learning. Others, probably following Jesus town to town, believers. We can say that some of the Pharisees also became believers. Maybe Nicodemus the Pharisee was a believer by this time. We don't know for sure. But we know plenty of those became believers as well. The 99, they really were those who, and I think we can get this from verse 7, who consciously repented of their sins. They consciously knew that, wow, on their own, they were in trouble. And they had let this shepherd come and pick them up and bring them back to safety. I think the 99 probably are in the best place in a way here, right? They really were. They were, yes, lambs, very vulnerable, still lambs. They messed up sometimes, but saved, protected, even able to be left in the open country so that the master, so Jesus could go and rescue the one. The 99, an interesting place. It is interesting. Actually, I thought of this as I was driving here. Interesting, it hit me when I wrote this even a couple months ago, that Jesus was saying this, I think, in large part to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, probably in his mind thinking, those aren't really the righteous ones, at least yet. But I think they probably thought they were, as he was explaining, you, the 99, you know, because then he goes on a little bit further, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, the older brother. But an interesting place, nonetheless, at this stage where Jesus is still with the people, hadn't died on the cross, hadn't rose from the grave, where Paul hadn't taught yet that righteousness, the righteous are the ones who come to him by faith, right? Like these sinners, these tax collectors. But saying this parable was good, because I think the Pharisees were probably thinking they were in that group of 99, yes. Interesting time. The one lamb, loved by God, by Jesus, this shepherd, before and after. In fact, those were probably some of those tax collectors and sinners, still probably living quite broken lives, maybe feeling broken. We know loved even before they confessed of their sins and repented. He went out to, left all the other 99 to find that one. Goes and finds that lamb and picks up that lamb and brings it back. Loved before and loved after. This was a lamb, it seems like, who, when the Savior came in that lamb's brokenness, didn't resist, didn't push away though. Really in a great place. In a great place of letting that Savior, letting that shepherd pick him up and bring it back and rejoice over that, because the flock was full again, was complete. Have you been that one? Maybe that's not such an easy question. Have you been that one? Here as people, maybe a lot like me, not knowing when I was born again. I know I was, but growing up all my life, first the Escondido Christian Reformed Church for 18 years, come to Sioux Center, I don't know when. I think I kind of believed in God all my life, even when the little children. But yes, the one, I think so. But some very distinctly can know, yes, I was the one, I am the one today. Wow, I know broken life, lost life, being lost, and being found. Well, whomever we are in this parable, what would God want us to do with our present situation? And this is what I have to tell you. I wrote this passage, this message, a couple months ago, and it has changed in me quite a bit. Quite a bit in the 99 and the 1 and where I'm at in that since that time. I'll get to that in just a moment. Of the 99, I say yes, if we are. It's a good place to be. I think Rebecca read this morning Romans 8, the last verse. What can separate us from the love of God? As Reformed Christians, we say, nothing can. Not even death is in that last verse of Romans 8. We are God's protected, saved children. We would say chosen, elected by Him, predestined by Him. Of the 99 is a great place to be. But here's a challenge I need to present. Remember we said there's some challenge in this. I believe maybe you'll think differently after, but for myself. The challenge here, I believe, is we need to ask ourselves, let me say first, in this passage, it seems like all the rejoicing is over the one. In fact, well, Jesus says it, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over, well, I've been thinking of myself as one of the 99 who already have repented. I'm over here and the partying, the joy is happening over there. And as I thought about this, even after preaching it once, I thought, that doesn't make me feel so good. In fact, you go to the end of Luke 15, and it talks about the older brother, right, of the prodigal son story. And he's upset. He's upset over the celebration of that brother that was lost and broken who came back. This brother probably of the 99, and he's upset. And he's jealous. He's not very happy. The father says, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. I have felt like that older brother plenty of times," and it kind of dawned on me a little later after even writing this originally. You know, we think a little bit more about this, and we have to even look at one more character, which there's challenge in, I think, in this passage. Well, it's the shepherd. And I think for many of you, like for me, I put myself in that as a pastor, but we're all ministers. We've been in the body for many years. He wants us to all go out into the harvest fields, which are plentiful, which he owns and wants workers. And, you know, he wants us to align our priority with his. And I think in this passage, Jesus is saying, the priority, church, all of you, Fred, the priority, church, is the lost. And it's finding those broken. And I have to ask us the challenging question, is it? I think it is here. Read in your bulletin, a wonderful thing, an offering for Christian education. And that's really good. I'm sure a lot of our funds go toward that. Christian schools, Dort College, probably even more than just what goes in the offering plate this morning. Does our wallet speak to Jesus' priority? Does all the Christian education we offer, is it truly to send people more ready to make a difference in his world? Just the challenge. I hope so. I believe so. We got great schools. Probably not completely. It's good to think about. So now how this has changed for me a little bit, I have to say what I have just said in the last 4 minutes, maybe feeling like the older brother, trying to align our priorities with Jesus and reach the lost, and yet here we are, and where's the rejoicing? That's not so motivating, isn't it? And I have to say, I preach probably too many sermons saying, let's go, rallying up, let's get out there, 99. What hit me here is that I want to be rejoiced over. Sometimes with that perspective, God's, what we would say is amazing grace, can be a little bit stale grace if we're not careful. It is amazing. We know that up here. But maybe not so amazing in here. A little stale at times. And I think it's different ways of seeing it for different people. But for me, I had to read this passage again also as one of the one. The one. I am, yes, I'm one of the 99 too, going through this long life of transformation, refining, sanctification, you know, becoming more holy, more like, set apart like him. And that's a great thing. But I know how much I'm in need of his grace today, how broken I can be, how worn out I can be, how dumb thoughts, jealousy, competition, even ministry, Savior complex, right? Which doesn't work at all, right? That's his thing. How those things can get us. And it's been so good to refreshing in the last month, it's kind of hit me last month, to say, I am as in need of God's grace, his fresh grace, as anyone. And that's what makes me excited to go out with him. Because, wow, yeah, without him, this moment, I am broken, I am lost, I am really hurting. So, well, let's shift gears just a moment. Back to the one lamb. If you are a lost lamb here today, no, because there are some probably, right? There are some around us, if not right in here. Know how loved you are by that shepherd. He loves you as much as me, a broken one. And if you're resisting, if you're different than the one in the story who accepts him and gets carried away by him in a loving way, I encourage you to not push away anymore, or at least think really hard about it. Why? Why? And if you keep drawing up good reasons, that's all right. But talk to someone you trust. Maybe have an openness, as we all should have an openness. An old cliche, let go and let God. Have a brief prayer. God, I'm broken. I'm confused. I mess up like each person. And I'm sorry, and I need you, and I know that you're the one to redeem me and to save me. And you have made me special. You have a great life for me. Amen. And before I close, I want to say this is a struggle for the immigrant and refugee churches as well. And it really is. Lovely people, but like us, many of them, truly, the ones in Sioux Falls have been Christians as long as we have. I have a dear South Sudanese friend named Hakim, known him for almost all of my 17 years of ministry in Sioux Falls. Hakim told me years ago, Fred, he's 65, I've known Jesus since I was a baby. The Baptist missionaries came to South Sudan back then, he says. Some of them are newer, some of them are younger Christians, but this isn't unique to our Anglo churches. We all need to figure out God's fresh grace for us. His amazing grace, most of us would agree, but his fresh grace needed by us this day. Whether we read this passage or any passages, read it for ourselves and not for those other people. Let it be fresh as it can be, as it is. And let that motivate us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your story. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all together our triune God working to save us, to make us, to desire us back when we fall into sin, to come incarnate, to be with us, to die for us, Son. Then when we have doubts, we feel shame, Holy Spirit, to counsel us, to guide us. Thank you, God, our Savior, for who you are. For who we are and who we can be in you. We lambs love you, our saving shepherd. And it's Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.